This week on Android App Addicts, Eric goes back to basics and Dor gives him the three words he's been waiting to hear. Phone users, welcome to Android App Addicts. This is episode number 503. This is Eric Ardini, the manager. I'm here by myself tonight. Hopefully, oh wait, no, Dor's here. Oh, Dor, how you doing tonight? I'm sorry.
Hey, Eric. Okay, is what I'm going to say. I guess it's this time of year. Spring is kind of sprung, even though first day of spring here it snowed. But you know. I guess now I got to start doing spring cleaning and stuff.
So do you have snow on the ground still from all your nor'easters?
I'm sure there's some snow in shaded areas, but most of it's all gone. Yeah, yeah.
Do you suffer from seasonal allergies with the spring bloom?
I never was aware if I was suffering from seasonal allergies. I know the kids do because, you know, they have the weak genes in them. But right now they're still fine.
They have the weak genes from your wife? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that. How dare you say that about my wife?
I didn't know if they were weak genes from you or your wife. You got the two.
Well, I'll say...
Or Aunt Ruth.
I'm...
Or something.
Well, I'm not, you know, strong like bull.
So you don't suffer. You are not.
Here's the thing. I could have suffered every year for my entire life, but I never noticed it, so I don't think I do. But then if I sit down and notice it, then I'm going to realize how much I hate allergies, and then I'll realize it, and then every year... I'll be miserable.
Does your nose run nonstop this time of year?
My nose runs nonstop from the age of 17 when I was jumped and I got my nose broke.
I'm glad the part of my nose that got broke wasn't the runny part. It was up higher, I think. I had to get stitches, though, but they dissolved or got taken out. I don't remember. Anyway, this is a podcast called Android App Addicts, and we talk about Android apps sometimes.
Well, first, let's take a Divergent. Whatever.
Great movie. Good soundtrack. I don't know about the movie.
If you say so. I'll put a link in the chat. And by the way, if you want to be in this chat, all you got to do is follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/podnuts. We send out a alert every week before we go live with a link to the website. Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There is a IRC chat there baked in. You can then see all these links as they come by and interact with other people. But the link I put in there, it is now official. Acer is coming out with a Chromebook Tab 10, which is a 10-inch Chrome OS tablet. Not an Android tablet, Chrome OS tablet. So the first question I have for you, Eric, is could this be the beginning of the official end and demise of Android tablets being a thing?
I think we're past that already. 2 years ago, we were probably at the end or demise of the Android tablet. Other than when Google's not making it anymore, I think that's the end and demise of it. Because
right.
They are going to set the bar, and then Samsung and everybody else is going to make things around that bar with the Nexus 7.
I will agree, but I will say the last tablet, one of the reasons I figured out that they stopped production on it, the Pixel C... Oh, man, what was it? The Pixel C had a processor in it. I want to say the NVIDIA Shield tablet has the exact same processor as the Nintendo Switch.
Really?
And so really quick divergent again. Anybody who said it all last year that Nintendo was doing some sort of fake shortage to try to drive up demand, anybody who said that, I want you as the listener to make a mental note because they have no idea what they were talking about. They were talking out their butt. Number one highest selling console in the history of consoles in North America in its first year. They could not have made more, period. This Nintendo has this false image that they manipulate markets so expertly that they can have shortages in product, which makes for higher demand. I mean, what self-respecting company would pass up money is my logic. So they were at peak capacity in making these things. There were shortages all over, and they still sold more than anybody else. my belief is one of the things, because they were in such high demand, it was harder for those other people to even get processors for their devices, which is why the Shield tablets, I believe, they stopped making them, and the Pixel C, they also stopped making that.
Yeah, I don't know if the end of, I mean, the Pixel C was so expensive, I doubt they sold a whole lot of them. The Nexus 9 they had for a while too, or Pixel 9, something 9. I don't know.
It was the tablet that was the first 64-bit processor that had nothing but problems for the first like year.
Yeah, that was a bad one. I'm encouraged that this one's not in the same price range as the Pixel C. Did it say? Do you know if it will run the Play Store out of the box?
Well, I'll say this: it's a tablet. It's touchscreen. It has to run it out of the box, is my logic. I didn't see any official yes, it will, but because of being touchscreen and everything else, I believe it has no choice. It has to.
The specs on it are as good as any computer I have. I mean, I'm a 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, and it's probably a beautiful screen. I'm not a big Acer fan, but... You know, I don't know. They've been around for a while now. Maybe they've gotten better. I'd rather it be made by Asus for some reason, I think. I don't know. Or Huawei, maybe.
Well, I'll say I'm not a huge fan of Acer. A lot of their stuff is plasticky. The article on Ars Technica does say it will run Android apps. This is why I'm bringing this to the show in reality. $329 for a 10-inch tablet with a 9.7-inch screen, 2048 by 1536, same resolution, I believe, as the normal iPad. It has OP1 processor, which I have no idea what the hell that even means. It looks like it's a ROC chip 3399, which just is right now hitting the mini PC market. If you want to know more about mini PCs, panos.com/mini PC show. We cover all this kind of stuff there. The 3399 is one of the best processors to hit the market right now. I do believe I'm right now running the chat and the monitoring the YouTube feed on a ROC 3399, a ROC 64 mini PC board. Very, very capable board. But the only thing I don't, well, Acer, I'm not a huge fan of Acer. 329 to me is a touch expensive, period. Mm. But look at the size of the bezels on that thing. This is 2018. To be honest, I'm shocked they're putting out a device with such monumental for the year bezels.
Big bezels, though, but that comes in handy when, I don't know, I'm a Pixel 2 user, not a Pixel 2 XL. I've got bezels on my phone, and I don't mind it because I don't mind grabbing my phone and not messing up whatever I was just looking at. It's a lot cheaper than the Nexus 10 I bought 6 years ago now. I'm not a big fan of that big of a tablet. I like a 7-inch tablet, especially when I have a 5-inch phone. I don't have a Note 9 or whatever, Note 8. I don't have a huge phone. So I'd like a little bigger on a tablet, but not a 10-inch. 10-inch is a little unwieldy for my likings. And it's a lot of pixels to be lit up at night in bed when you're reading something or checking stuff out.
Yeah, I agree. My Chromebook Flip is I want to say 11-inch screen, and I get easily 10 hours of battery life. And when I say easily 10 hours, it's at least like 15 hours of battery life on it. This thing just says more than 9 hours battery, I want to say, which isn't bad. To me, 10-inch tablet, after you put a case on it, it's the size of like a notebook. That to me is not desirable unless it's literally a couch computer. It doesn't leave the side of the couch. That's the only time I could see that being a comfortable experience, because this is not something I would ever slip in my backpack and take with me. Maybe we're not the market. I don't know, but time will tell if this thing actually sells or not. Yeah. It's going to launch in May.
It does have stereo speakers, it looks like, and a headphone jack. Now, I wonder, I know Amazon's done a lot with their Kindle Fire HD speakers. They're now Dolby Atmos equipped rather than just Dolby, which gives a little effect, I guess, to some of the sound. I don't know if these are going to sound. I would hope it would sound as good, at least, as the Fire to keep up with that. I don't know. I would definitely buy this over a Fire tablet, though, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the Fire OS. And I'm anti-Amazon currently. So.
Right. Well, yeah, the two things. One, the processor in my ROC 64 mini computer is a ROC chip RK3328. So it's not the same processor. That processor in that tablet is brand new. We've only had, I think, two devices say they're going to ship soon with that processor in it. But all the benchmarks say unbelievably capable device. This to me is a very rare thing to have a non-Samsung, non-big name brand processor being able to hang with, you know, the big boys kind of thing. So it's a very good sign. I will only buy Amazon tablets for my kids, because if they break it, then I don't stress as much. I don't see the wife wanting a tablet. She's fine with her Chromebook. I have my Chromebook. I don't see me not needing a physical keyboard. And then to me, the logic of buying this and then buying a keyboard to go with it is dumb. So I'm just going to keep buying Chromebooks.
I've got two Bluetooth keyboards. That wouldn't be a big deal. It's already sitting here, not being used by anything, from previous tablets. That's not a big deal. I can't say that I'm going to go out and buy this tomorrow, but I'm glad to see it. And I think by naming it OP1, that's a good sign that, they're looking to the future, because OP2 will be the processor in the next tablet they come out with. So that's good.
You say so. The next hardware related thing I just want to talk about super quick, I'm going to put it again in the chat. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it. I did send it to you, but I sent it to you in Voxer. With PUBG being on Android, okay, Fortnite is coming, just a question of when. Fortnite is already on iOS. Both of them are saying they're seeing unbelievable amounts of activity on it. You know, lots of people downloading, lots of people playing. What I put in the link to the note is to a CNX software webpage, which is one of my more favorite sites here lately. It is called GameSir X1 Battle Dock. Is a Bluetooth smartphone dock with USB ports for keyboards and mouse. So it's a very little box that connects Bluetooth to your phone, and it holds your phone in a adjustable stand, and then you can plug up a keyboard and mouse to it. If I was Sony and I was Microsoft, the popularity of PUBG on Android and Fortnite on iOS, and I believe PUBG's on iOS too, I would literally be worrying right now, because the rumor mill says in May, Google is going to announce at Google I.O. Yeti, which is going to be a set-top box, a TV set-top box that's going to stream games to people. So it does to me look like these mobile devices are going to be more and more competitive as time goes on, because here's the golden rule. All you PC Master Race people, all of you Xbox people who like cussing at each other on your headsets, all of you Sony fans that believe that your touchpad in the middle is the greatest thing ever, it doesn't matter what any of you think. It doesn't matter what any of your companies think. It matters what software developers develop towards. If there's money in the mobile market, software developers will go there. The adoption numbers are very clear. They said in the last 2 weeks, a lot more companies are going to be focusing away from those old mainstay solutions of Xbox, PS4, and computers. And a lot more people are going to be focusing on, dare I say, micropayment solutions on mobile chipsets.
I think the reason for that is, you say mainstay. Well, I think people mainly don't want to stay tied to one room, to one TV anymore. People are getting more used to decent gaming anywhere they want to go on a mobile device. And so the gamers, the game makers are going to go where the people are at. PUBG, and for those who don't know, PUBG, we talked about it last week on the show. And Fortnite is basically, it's a similar game. It's a little more cartoony, and there's a little making aspect to it that PUBG misses out on. So a lot of people, and people like my son is a good example. He actually likes Fortnite better than PUBG, just because it has more to it, and it's not nearly as military. It's more crafty, I guess. This device you're showing, it looks like a cradle dock, and it almost looks like a mini PC at the bottom where the USBs plug into. There's a button, and then at the top there's some kind of a cylinder. Do you understand what all that is? Is that speakers at the top or a battery held at the top? or some kind of a ratchet system that adjusts the angle, maybe?
Yeah, what I believe is this folded up, it folds nearly flat. It opens up, the top is nothing more than just a cylinder to angle the device where you want it. The bottom is like a brick, like a mini computer. It's really mainly a battery, and it's a 3,000 milliamp battery, which they say will last for up to 5 hours of usage. So you can literally put it in your backpack with a keyboard and mouse, and you already have your phone. Go anywhere, set it up, and then you can keyboard, mouse, game on your smartphone.
Now, I would...
I'm not...
Okay, so this is $42.99 plus shipping, or including shipping. Tell you what, if you could have this, but a larger size to fit that Acer tablet you were just talking about, and have that little 10-inch display there, and then you'll have your keyboard and mouse hooked up to it for gaming, that would be pretty fun, I think. I'd much rather game on a tablet than a phone. And man, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I have to agree. A bigger screen is always better. But I'll also say, Eric, we are not the target market. It's a question of if, you know, kids and younger people are okay with that, or will they demand on a bigger screen? I'll just say this: $42 is not a ripoff for a device like that. 5 hours of battery life is fair. Bluetooth connectivity to your phone, which means you're always going to have a touch of lag, but you're already going to have lag because you're on a wireless network. People can laugh at this. People can talk down about this all they want, but there's little doubt in my mind in the next 6-8 months, you're going to see other companies coming out with similar things to this to some degree, to some level of popularity. I'm not going to say they're going to take over the market, but I can see it, like my kid loving the idea of this.
And I don't see how large it accommodates too, as far. And again, in case you didn't get it at the beginning, this is called the GameSir X1 Battle Dock. It's Game, GAMESIR, like, hello, sir, GameSir X1. I guess it would probably accommodate at least to a Note 7 size device or whatever. Some good size.
I'll just say it better. And if you go to the Geek Buying link, you scroll down, you can see how the whole thing folds down to a pretty compact state. But what I do not see is that number. What size device will it support up to? Because, yeah, that's... Yeah.
So we're at Geek Buying. Do you buy things from Geek Buying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Geekbuying.com.
Yeah, Geek Buying is almost like the UK Europe version of Newegg, is what I'll say. I've bought 3D printers from them. I bought my GPD XD gaming machine from them. I bought probably the two previous gaming tablets from them too, including the one I gave you, the JXD.
Okay. Now, I'll tell you what, GameSir looks like they've been around for a while. They've got at least a dozen products in here, all relating to mobile gaming and Bluetooth game pads and joysticks and things like that. They've got they've been around. That's good. That's good. This GameSir X1 Battle Dock doesn't look like any of the other things they've made, but it looks like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, this to me is a good idea just for competition, for diversity, for disruption. This is the kind of thing that I honestly can see people gravitating towards, at least younger people.
And honestly, if you didn't have it named that way, this could be, I mean, for somebody who doesn't have a laptop, doesn't have a tablet, has a keyboard and mouse somehow, but needs to do some work on a Google Docs without typing on their tab, on their screen, this could be used in an office environment to use for Google Docs. If you wanted to use a keyboard and mouse suddenly on your phone to be productive.
I agree. I've had more than a couple tablet phone stands. A huge majority of them just completely suck. Do not work well. Do not work good. Just as a phone stand, I could see this being better than the average.
Mm-hmm. Good find, Dor. I don't think I have any hardware news. I think I talked last week. Did I tell you that I found a Pixel for my wife? Pixel first gen. Ended up scoring it for $100, which I thought was pretty reasonable.
Fair price.
So she's getting better battery life now, much, much better. She doesn't plug it in at work, and when she gets off, she gets off work, gets home, she's still at 50% battery. So that's decent, where a 50% battery on her old phone would have caused a shutdown, especially if she was on, like, Facebook or something.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Do you have any other hardware news, or do you want to move on to apps?
I do not believe there's anything else hardware related that I can think of.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. We don't have any emails this week either, do we?
We have one email from James. Give me one second here. I will throw it in the chat here. There you go.
Oh, this chat. Wait, no? This chat? What chat? I don't see it. Oh, that chat. I got
it. It's in both.
Getting the whole. I'm not getting the whole message there. Okay, so this is an email from Jim Zett. I might have had this one. Maybe not. Jim says, I'm trying to locate a new Android phone for T-Mobile in the sub-$200 range. I don't need the latest and greatest, just a USD card support and the ability to root. So he wants SD card support and rootable, which I would say are, they're decent requests, I don't use phones with SD cards anymore, and honestly, I can't say I miss them, but what are you thinking for that, like a Moto X1, or what was that one, Moto E, something like that?
I'll say this. Looking for SD card support is like shoving your head underwater and wondering why you're drowning. You do not want any phone with micro SD support. Micro SD cards are built to a much lower tolerance than internal storage. And the people who want micro SD cards seem to use a lot of storage. And most of the people I know kill micro SD cards and don't understand why they're having issues on phones, why things stop working right. It's because you're beating the crap out of that SD card. Don't worry about an SD card. Get a phone with more internal storage is the answer to that. But if you want a phone that's rootable with an SD card, the first thing I'll say is this ain't 2015. I have no idea what is rootable, what is not rootable, because I have no reason to get root on any devices anymore personally, because I do not buy any devices from any US carriers ever again, which means when I buy my device, I already have essentially root. I already have admin privileges. I can already do everything that everybody can do on every rooted device without getting root kind of thing. That's how I buy my device. The Moto E, I'm sure, is rootable for one reason. For a phone to be rootable, it has to be popular. For a phone to be under $200, 99.99999% of them are not going to be popular, which means no one's going to take the time to figure out how to root. The rooting and ROMing ecosystem is virtually dead. If you go into these sites, if you go to XDA and you look at the frequency of postings, they're down tenfold. People are not doing this anymore. People are not looking at this anymore. Only very few select people are. There was a time where there was almost a lot of us. Now, it's not the case. I did send him a link back to a Moto E 4th Gen. Only 16 gigs of internal storage. I don't care what you do. With 16 gigs of internal storage, you are going to run into issues. Doesn't matter if you have an SD card or not. You will run into issues. You will plan to have issues. On Swappa, the LG 6 and G6 and G5 are about $200. The other phone I'll throw out there, I'm sure it doesn't have SD card, is a Huawei Honor 7X, which you can get the US version for T-Mobile, AT&T support for just about $200. I guarantee you get that phone, you will find that you basically do not need root for 99.999% of the things that you normally do need for root on the other devices. The best thing is, if you buy it from Amazon, you don't like it, you can return it back. And when you buy a phone for under $200, you have to understand, I buy a phone for $400. What I'm buying is not a $400 phone. I'm buying the assurance that I'm not going to have to buy a phone for over a year, pushing 2 years. And it's already been almost 20 months since I bought my phone. I spent around $400. You spend $150, $180 on a phone, you will have to buy a phone again in about a year.
You know, I can see where Jim's coming from, because I used to be in the universe of Samsung devices, and they had SD cards, and you needed to root them. I've been using this Note 4 as my spare phone. This is definitely a phone that needs root, needs to be ROMed, and has a great SD card to help facilitate the rooting and ROMing of it. Yeah, I agree with you, Dor. I don't worry about root and ROM anymore. And I don't, you know, my Nexus 5X wasn't a really expensive phone, brand new. I mean, you could probably get a 5X, but you're not going to get an SD card. I don't know. I agree with you. I think if you could squeeze out another $150 more, maybe double what he's looking at, $200 to $400, you could buy a brand new phone that lasts you a few years. The 5X lasted me for 3-4 years, and it was I mean, it's not like your kind of phones though. It was definitely an American carrier phone on Google Fi. I've got a question for you, Dor, though. So, saying what you said about SD cards, why did the Switch? Why and your laud for the Switch? Why did they settle and not put more internal storage and make you almost need an SD card for that?
Profit.
They're not selling the SD card.
No, but they are able to lessen the amount of internal storage without fluctuating on the price.
Is that, you think that would have been that much of a...
Well, there's always a sweet spot. And, you know, being a car guy, you'll understand this. Remember when the PT Cruiser first came out? The pretty turdy cruiser, as I call it, the PT Cruiser. When that car was brand new, the MSRP was something like $14,000. Yet, if you went to the dealer to buy it, it cost you $16,000. And then months passed, and it came down to the normal price. And then 2 or 3 years passed, and everyone realized it was crap, and then they weren't worth anything.
If you like a neon, they're not crap.
Right. With all storage media, there's always a sweet spot where the company is mass producing a certain amount of them, which is going to bring the price down. My guess is that sweet number right now for them to buy massive bulks of them was what they put in the Switch. And to go more would have cost more than like 10, 20 cents or whatever per each Switch. And then to go smaller would have even cost more money because you're not buying the most popular one while I have a kid here trolling me.
It's true. Yeah, that's cute.
No, don't tell him he's cute. What's wrong with you? I
get what you're saying.
It was a pure business decision by them to put the amount of storage in there that they did. Now, with that said, if you only buy Nintendo games, official Nintendo
games,
you'll
never need to use any. Right.
You probably will never need an SD card. But if you buy WWE or NBA 2K, you can't even play the game without downloading without buying an SD card.
Even if you buy the physical game cartridge and then the updates, it's just I haven't bought an SD card for the Switch yet.
Well, right now you can get a 200 gig SD SanDisk UHC, which is better than a Class 10 speed card, for around $60 if you look around. So it isn't like it's a crazy price, but I will say it does seem like everything technology related for the last year, when you buy something, you're not done spending money. It seems like you always got to buy this one or two extra things to go with it.
I think the Switch is no different. It's always been that way, though. I mean, you bought your Commodore 64, you had to go out and buy a cassette recorder for it to load games onto, and any kind of computer, you always have peripherals you had to buy. I think that's just part of tech. It's always the way it's going to be. There's no one size fits all in tech, except for cell phones and Android phones and things like this, because other than Bluetooth headphones and things like that, there's not a whole lot you can add to them.
Right. And I'll say it's fair for people to complain about that. Nothing is perfect, nor was that device. And in all honestly, when that device was launched, it was a soft launch. It was not ready for production. They did not have the ecosystem in place. Hell, they still don't have a true online chat really in place. The eShop still needs a lot of work for it to become truly usable, searchable, discoverable, and there's no virtual console, at least yet, on the system. So it's still in a soft status, maybe like a beta status.
No virtual console. You mean like to play retro games?
Yeah, that's what they call it in the Nintendoverse, to download older games and play them on newer hardware.
Oh, okay. Hey, Dor, do you have an app for us?
Yeah, sorry, Kitchen.
If not, I've got one.
Well, I definitely have more than a couple. The first one I'm going to bring out here, I want to bring out, this. Actually, I'm going to switch it up right now, and I'm going to go to this tab, and I'm going to type this, and I'm going to click here, click this one. I'm going to drop this one in the chat, and this is a crap app. Long story short, we've all heard in the last week the Facebook debacle of trust. Bottom line, this is a company. You as a user don't pay anything. The only thing this company can do is sell demographic type data to advertisers and marketers. That's all they can do. So stop complaining. Okay. That's again, like shoving your head under the water and wondering why you drowned. That's what happens when you do that. Here's another example. Under Armour. I live in Maryland. This blessed Maryland company. No, they're not. They suck. They're horrible. They treat people horrible. They're a very horrible company. And anybody who wears their stuff, I think less of. But with that said, Under Armour has an app called MyFitnessPal that multiple people insisted I had to download and I had to use to help keep track of my diet. No, I'm not doing that.
Did they always own MyFitnessPal? Because MyFitnessPal's been around for a long time, right?
It has. They bought it maybe a year ago, kind of thing.
All right.
But no, I don't need this. 99.99999% of the kinds of things that people do on their phone involving internet web pages, you don't need an app. Okay, period. Even though we're a show called Android App Addicts, yes, I just said that. This is a perfect example. All I need to do is when I go to a place, do a web search, see what I'm about to eat, get the numbers, and look it. I don't have a mental handicap where I need something to actually data log every single little thing I do. I just pay attention to what I do. So I've never installed this app. I have nothing to worry about. Under Armour had a massive data breach. They tried to say a small data breach. Then when you read the article, they talk about the data that's been breached. It's a massive data breach. So if you ever installed the calorie counter MyFitnessPal or ever had a MyFitnessPal login, change your damn password and make sure that if there was any sensitive information on that account, you change it. If there was a credit card on file, cut the credit card, get a new credit card. Because when you give companies like this your personal, private, sensitive information, this is the kind of thing that happens, which is why as soon as I downloaded the app the very first time and it forced me to create an account, I uninstalled the app.
So you just kind of keep track around guess in your head of how many calories you're taking in a day. Is that part of your diet, is calorie counting?
No, I don't care about calories.
Okay.
Calories are one of the most pointless things
to actually keep track of. But some people do. They're on a so many calories per day diet.
They can. Some people believe there's a spaghetti monster who lives in their closet too. That doesn't mean they're any more right.
That sounds messy.
Counting calories is one of the most worthless things you can do in your diet. What a calorie actually is, it's a unit of measurement of fat, of energy being used.
Right. Heat.
Which is completely inaccurate. Okay. And then the inverse is also true. To measure how many calories you're burning, everything is completely inaccurate. Okay. How can this machine know that when I'm on versus you're on, we're not going to burn the same amount of calories. We're two different people.
It's depressing the amount of calories you burn because like, oh man, I walked for a half an hour and I burned 1,000 calories is all.
Don't forget, Eric, there's three kinds of lies out there. Lies, damn lies, and stats. All of the most popular gym equipment that tells you how many calories you're burning have an average of 60 to 80% inaccuracy versus the national standard in your favor. So if you're actually only supposed to be burning 200 calories, on average, the things will tell you 60 to 80% more calories. Why? Because you as the person on that device, it makes you feel better.
I'm not on a machine, but I just, Google or Google Fitness or whatever, random fitness app that tells you, hey, you just walked all the way from there to here and you burn off 38 calories. It makes you just want to drive, you know?
Well, yeah. And all I'm worrying about is two things. To try to be perfect, it's planned failure. I just wake up every morning, everything I eat, I look at the sugars, I look at the carbs. I know they're not going to be completely accurate because of the serving size manipulation they do. When it says 2 grams of sugar, it's actually 3. because they lie.
Well,
I know that.
And the serving size is half the size you would ever even consider consuming.
That too. So everything I eat, I look at the sugars, I look at the carbs, I look at the serving size. I try to eat smaller than the serving size, and I estimate just over what those numbers are in sugars and carbs. And that's all I do. And because I'm a creature of ridiculous habit, since I eat the same thing virtually every day, I know what I'm eating.
And I don't know if you don't ever tune in live or anything. If you have tuned in live and watched the show at podnuts.com/live, and if you've been watching the show over the last 3 years, you will see it in Dor's face and body that whatever he's doing is working. He's, I wouldn't say half the man he used to be, but he's looking pretty good. Oh, I'm envious that I have no willpower to do it, but of course I haven't had a doctor tell me to do it yet either. So that appointment comes in May for me. So we'll find out how that goes.
Gotcha. And this is what I'll say here. I love how the universe is completely random. Hey, there is no such thing as luck. There is no such thing as bad luck. There is no such thing as fate. It's just randomness. But one of the things that I know to expect, the only question is where it's going to come from, is when I walk like through a hall at work, and somebody stops me and says, hey, you've lost a lot of weight. Yes, I have. Well, can I ask why?
You tell me you have AIDS?
No, because at my job, because I live in Maryland, everybody expects the answer to be cancer. Because literally 71% of the people in Maryland who die in Maryland, who grew up in Maryland, die from complications related to cancer.
I think that's just a stat for a lot of places, most places anymore.
Well, I'm just saying, people used to make fun of San Francisco for being the gay city, in air quotes, because 2 out of 3 people were gay.
Yeah.
Well, we have a higher percentage of death from cancer than they have that. I'll just say that. And I told her, I said, well, my doctor about a year ago said I was basically in danger of being full-blown diabetic. She said, what was your A1C? I told her it was like 12. Oh, my goodness. She said, well, you know, I've had the same thing, but you've lost a lot of weight. She said, are you on drugs? I said, well, my doctor just, well, you know, 20 days ago told me to stop taking my metformin because I don't need it anymore. That's fantastic. Have you lost a lot of weight? And I said, well, it's over 80 pounds. Oh, that is amazing. And then for 20 minutes, she droned on telling me what I need to do to manage my sugar. I'm thinking to myself, I thought we just agreed that I don't need any advice. I'm fine, but I didn't want to be rude, didn't want to be a jerk, so I just sat there and nodded my head. Oh, really? Interesting. Didn't know that. Wow, really? Didn't know
that. Well, there's probably some nice recipes that she wanted to share that she's learned since she was afflicted or whatever.
I love you, Eric. As soon as she said she didn't eat meat, she's dead to me. Because I'm a bacon man, and I'm a steak man, and I'm a fish man, and I'm a chicken man, and I'm a chorizo man.
Chorizo.
Yeah, protein.
Only when I camp. Yeah. Chorizo and eggs on a campfire. Mm, that is good stuff. So,
yeah. So, you know.
So not a big fan of Calorie Counter MyFitness. You know, I always thought of these apps that you scan in the things you're going to eat and the things you're purchasing and things like that. Not so much the reward card things. Well, maybe that too. But I always thought that that information is going to somehow get leaked to my insurance mm-hmm. company, and they're not mm-hmm. going to pay out on my life insurance after I die, because they're going to look at the things I scanned in that I consumed, and they're like, well, this was suicide. If he wasn't trying to kill himself, he wouldn't have eaten all this stuff and done this crazy things to his body, right?
And that's the thing. Any information you give these apps is the oil of the future. And that's not some conspiracy theorist people talking here. This ain't some weirdo talking about the government's out to get you. No, data is money. Any data. And no matter how pointless you think it is, here's the perfect example, Eric. Before you were on any podcast, didn't you think, well, why would I be on a podcast? What do I have to say that's so important? Nobody wants to hear what I want to say.
I don't know if I said that. I'm like, well, give me a lot I was of like, give do. Me a mic. Oh, they want to hear this.
No, well, I'll say a lot of people believe they have nothing to say. What most people don't believe is everybody's unique. Everybody has valuable information to either say or share. And all these companies know that. That's why Under Armour bought MyFitnessPal, because that data is worth gold. Here's another example of it. To follow up what you said, Eric, this is an app called Ondo for Diabetes. And I downloaded this app weeks and weeks ago, maybe 6-7 weeks ago, before any of the good
On
news.
Duo, okay? Onduo, developed with Google.
Mm-hmm. Onduo for diabetes, developed with Google, medical app, e for everyone, completely free to download, no ads, no in-app purchases, completely free. Eric, if an app is completely free,
you are what they're selling.
Yes. And guess what the first thing you have to do when you launch this app is?
Retina scan.
You have to give them all of your health insurance information.
Oh, neat.
Okay. So needless to say, I downloaded this app. I installed this app. I launched this app. I said, what?
Yeah, but I use a little company called Blue Cross, Blue Shield. There's no way that they would ever be able to get tied in with some other big company like this, could they?
I'll just say Google has a health initiative where they had an initiative years ago where they wanted to make digital health records a real thing and make information more ubiquitously shared between providers and customers, which to me, look, it's one of those things. It's a great idea. Okay. So was nuclear reactors for power. Okay. Any tool is just a tool. It's not good or bad.
Yeah, but I'm already all in on Google. I might as well just install this, even though I don't need it, because they say they're going to do no evil. So they know there's nothing. I didn't ever want to be here, Dor. Not that I didn't want to be on the show with you, but I never wanted. I was more of a conspiracy paranoia kind of guy. I would never have consented to the things that I consent to these days. It's for the show, though, so you're welcome, everybody.
Well, I guess where you're slacking, the universe is then counterbalancing and giving it to me, because I would not give them my insurance information. Now, if my doctor, because here's the thing, I'm also the guy that doesn't go into the doctor and say, well, doc, you know, I saw this commercial for Provigil, and it sounds like the exact medication I need. I don't do that, okay? I do not do that. I do not tell my doctor what to do. I do not tell my doctor what to think. I do not tell my doctor what to give me. If my doctor would have said, Steve, there's this app. I see you're an Android user. There's this app by Google called Ondu. If you download that, I'll be able to see all of your readings, and I'll be right in line with what's going on. Hey, I would have installed it in a heartbeat. But I'm not going to download something on my own, have it seemingly out of nowhere ask for my insurance. No. I'm not. I can't. I won't. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm
the administrator of our health insurance at our work. So I do all the negotiations with Blue Cross, well, with the company who I buy it from. And I also am in charge of setting up a wellness program where people, like-minded people like I used to be, won't go take wellness challenges or go to screenings because they're sure that those numbers are getting directly reported to all the insurance companies that they're part of with their name tied to their A1C number or whatever, which it isn't. But, you know, I would have been in the same camp if they would have told me. I was always one of those guys who would never go to a blood draw. I'm like, no, you're not taking my blood. If I need that, I'll go to that. I was that guy. But, I'm not going to walk around with a piece of technology connected to the internet that's going to record everything I listen to, that I say throughout the day. I'm not going to have any cameras in my house.
Well, Eric, do you want to know one of the truths about, your blood?
It's not yours. I don't know.
Well, no. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Were you born in a hospital?
I was.
Okay, everybody born in a United States hospital after the year 19, I believe, I want to say 52. It was 50-something. One of the things that's been done at every single childbirth is they've then taken multiple vials of blood and stored them, and they're the hospital's property. And so anybody who has access to that institution at the right level will have all the genetic information they need for everybody who's born in the United States already.
What if my hospital burnt down?
It's a question
not
of
saying
what
that
year
it has
was
yet,
there.
But if it were to.
First off, I'll tell you, they had a massive thing back in the 80s to basically, in the early 90s, to basically digitize as much of that information from all those resources as possible. So the one, I don't like a fingerprint reader as a password, because you can never change it. Passwords should be changeable. Fingerprint could be the login ID part of the login, but it shouldn't be the password. The most unique genetic information you have as the identifying thing of you is your DNA. And I found out from a hospital that they have like something like 98% of the people in the United States, the government already has your DNA.
But just because they have, okay.
Now, is it organized and is it maintained and is it, you know, diagnosed and developed and understood? No.
Yeah.
Because it's the government. Government employees are retards.
They've got my blood and they can get my DNA out of it.
They can do more. And the only thing is time. You know what I mean? It's time. That's all they need is time. It's just like the Utah data center they have out there. They're storing as much as they can with the hope that sooner or later they'll be able to evaluate.
I think my medical paranoia would have had more to do, less to do with my DNA that's stored somewhere, but more to do with the mistreatment I have done to my body over the years, and the fact that my insurance company could know that I've done this badly.
Well, you remember, to them it's just a visit to the blackjack table. They're just playing the odds.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is they're just calculating to make money, but not completely charge you too much money to drive you away, but just to charge you enough money so they make money. But at the same token, they don't, you know, the odds are they'll in the end come out ahead.
And as long as I have a job, I'll be pooled in with the other employees on a group plan. If the day comes where we all have to buy our health insurance individually, then my paranoia will be more justified.
And that's one place where I'll say I'm lucky, since I've been to my place of work for 20 years. After, I want to say it was 8 years, maybe 12 years, I'm health insurance vested, which means for the rest of my life, I'll be able to get the same plan that the employees get there.
Nice.
As long as we can afford
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. As long as you can afford it. Right.
Yeah. Because that's one of the things. We're all getting old. Between you and me, Eric, I've had way in excess of 300 concussions in my life, which means
really?
I'm going
to never.
Which means when I hit a certain age, my cost of healthcare is going to skyrocket because I'm going to need help.
Do you wear helmets now? Did you?
Nope.
No.
Nope. And between you and me, I've completely lost consciousness, not counting sleep, of course. 3 times in the last 2 years.
That's just between you and me, because
just between you and me. Yeah. So I
try to lose consciousness about every weekend, but I don't have the willpower or the stamina to keep going. Yes.
So I firmly believe that at the end of the day, when the insurance company is looking at the amount of money they got from me versus the amount of money they spent, they're going to be on the losing side of that wager.
Yeah. Well, you get what you pay. You're getting your money's worth out of them. Not a lot of people do.
Yeah, so I gave both of these apps thumbs down, MyFitnessPal Calorie Counter and Udoo for diabetes. They both just, I'm not giving away my information for free. And if my doctor didn't tell me to give my health insurance information to a company, I can't see myself doing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to change the subject matter a bit tonight. So we're going to go to the classic manager style of apps for the rest of this, rest of my half, anyway, of the apps that are bringing. And it's springtime, you know, the birds and the bees, you know, so things happen in spring, you know, it's Easter. And my first app is called Sex Versus Blocks. This is an app, it's a game, and basically it is a male symbol or a female symbol, and it's like an endless runner. You just have to move back and forth to avoid running your symbol into some black blocks that are on the screen in front of you. It's got to be a great game because there's no video, even though it seems like there might be because there's a big play button on the first screenshot. But this is by Freebird Studios. 111 reviews, rated teen. This is a really simple game with a fancy name.
Okay, well, the link you put in there was not to the game. It was to install the game, just to let you know.
To install. Oh, okay.
Going to pull a mark and say, I have nothing to say about that except nope.
Well, I see the developer, now that you put a decent link in there, the developer seems to use the word sex in all of his ads, or in all of his apps, just probably for marketplace goodness to keep people coming back, I'm guessing. But they score highly in the ratings.
Okay. How highly? With how many?
Well, Sex Smash has 4.5 stars.
With how many reviews?
115.
Yeah, that ain't a lot. That's easily buyable.
Yeah. Sex Roll is 137 reviews with four stars, not quite 4.5. Sex Fly is 4.5 reviews, 183 reviews, 4.5 stars.
Are you seeing a consistent thing here, Eric?
You can't bulk buy those, can you? Like,
oh, that's the only way you can buy them.
So, and that's the four. So we just pimped all four of Freebird Studios apps right there. But, yeah, that was my first app.
All righty.
Happy happiness. See, we got to keep it happy.
Okay. Well, what I'm going to bring next is, I will admit it is a weird app. Google did this maybe a couple years ago. Now it looks like there are more people doing it. Long story short, Eric, if companies will have a desire to ship things truly anywhere in the world, everyone should understand street addresses are not an acceptable way of addressing. It cannot be an acceptable way of addressing it. Because what if I'm at a corner? What if I'm in a field? What if I'm on a boat? What if I'm in the middle of Alaska? What if I want the thing delivered in my backyard? Like a drone delivery, for instance. Yes, I said drone. Google, like a couple years ago, said every place in the world can be addressed using three words. Okay. This app is called What Three Words by What Three Words Travel and Local. E for everyone, completely free to download and install. No in-app ads, no in-app purchases. 1,928 reviews, 4.4 average reviews, 1,364 five-star reviews. Updated February 28th, 2018, 34 megs, 100,000 plus installs, version 3.0.9. Okay. I believe they're cut into 10 by 10 foot units of measurement, which means if you want a drone delivery in your backyard, as long as you have bigger than a 10 by 10 foot area, it should be very easy to address that area. Now, here's the thing. The 10 by 10 foot area, I do believe each one of those walls also have their own name to go down to four names. But right here in the app, they just focus on the three words. So any place in the world you go, you can zoom in, click on this, and there will be a three-word thing describing that location. It literally might be ring down home. It might be clever buffalo alkaline. There's almost no telling what those three words could be. They're not three words that mean anything in a communication, but they're three unique words to address any given area.
Why would they make it hard like that? Because then you've got different languages, barriers, and things like that. Why can't they just use GPS and have two numbers instead of three words?
Well, nobody's going to ever remember the GPS coordinates. Have you looked at GPS coordinates for a spot as small as 10 by 10?
Okay, so you are going to remember the. So this isn't something you're going to need a phone for. Once you learn the three words that pertain to your 10 by 10,
right,
you could forget technology other than phone calling your order in to somebody.
Well, and that's I'll say the initial logic behind it. For instance, you don't know each street address on your street. You just know your address. And you have an idea. It goes higher this way, lower that way, whatever. But to just basically memorize maybe three spots on your property, maybe your front step, maybe your back deck, and maybe over by the shed, that's only nine words you have to remember. And what I hate to say is the honest to God truth. English is the language of money in the world. That might change in 3 to 5 years. I don't know. But right now, it's English. So right now, the world map is done with three unique English words.
Well, I no, but even in this video I saw where there was Arabic spelled.
Oh. Okay.
So I had no idea what those three words were. And that's why I thought there was confusion.
Oh, okay. We're seeing them in English. I believe all of the words are only words that are translatable into, and I can't remember the number of languages they said, but it has to be something like six or seven languages. So certain key, unique American words will not be in that list.
So can I go now and find out what my three words are for areas of my yard?
Yes, if you just go to whatthreewords.com, you don't need the app, just whatthreewords.com. You just go there and you can click on Explore map, and then you'll get what is essentially like a Google Maps thing zoomed in. You just zoom back out, and like right now I'm going towards my house.
Yeah, I want to know your three words. Wow, it started me out in New York.
Yeah, it always does, okay. Unless you share your location. Let me get down to my Street.
Long Duck Dong. I'm hoping. That's just, I'm just hoping.
No. You're barking at the wrong tree. Well, okay. Slipped Unrest Referral. Looks like one of my words. This one actually might be better.
Oh, door. Mine has your name in it.
Okay.
That's Fly Speech Door.
Fly Speech Door. Headlights Along Siblings.
Oh, actually, that's my neighbor. Shoot. I liked
that's
that
the front
one.
Of my house. Yeah.
Oh, this is fun. So, Upset Actors Hardly is the big gate on my house, on my fence. That's that. Upset Actors Hardly is where the large drop-offs come in.
Gotcha. Well, and like, so...
Oh, wait, no, I'm on the wrong side of the... Shoot. I lied. Nails sticky, okay. Loyal. All right.
Well, that ain't horrible. Because here's the logic. If you go to buy something from Amazon and there's a drone delivery. Oh, correction. You go to eBay. You don't go to...
Yeah,
eBay.
I don't go to... You I go don't, to eBay. I only go to eBay now.
What is the likelihood of you defining a place on your property in the exact same terms and vocabulary and spelling that everybody else does?
Yeah, well, I think of when I have a Julie call out, when I'm going to put up a fence or dig a hole, and you got to call mm-hmm. that number and have them come out, and they have you describe where on your property you are planning to dig, because they don't measure your whole yard and flag it all out. They only want to flag out the part that you're intending on digging, so that they know for sure you're going to miss everything that's underground. Yes, that's not a non-trivial thing to try to describe. It is difficult.
Right. Right. So, and the big logic is, if you want something specifically delivered to your backyard, or you know I'm going to be on a boat in this area at this time, quite literally, you'll be able to get something shipped right there, or you want something delivered literally to the roof of your work using drone delivery kind of thing, yeah. Using this three-word thing, you could do it.
I'm going to go to the spot that's the funniest name. I'm not gonna give them the place where I really want it to be dropped. I'm gonna just find the best three words. Because actually, in my backyard, where you were just describing, is Smooth Hung mm-hmm. Sunset.
Nice. Yeah. Well, see, that two things then. Every time I go to Pat's Pizzeria for my family and pick up food, whenever they ask what is the name, I always say Gaston, which is the brute character from Beauty and the Beast, who's really a bad guy, but he's the brute. Hunky guy who thinks he's the most attractive thing ever. I always say that's my name, because what's the likelihood I'm going to go there and somebody else is going to say my name is Gaston?
So can you type in Smooth Hung Sunset?
Nope.
And find out if it actually goes to my house?
Oh, God.
You still got your map up, right?
No, of course I don't.
Okay, never mind.
Explore map. Hold on. Okay. No, here. It's reloaded. I can control shift T and reload.
There's a search button. So, there's a search thing in the map.
Smooth.
We just got to test it. We can't be giving out information that we don't know for sure is going to be perfect for our customers.
Smooth
here.
Hung what?
Smooth Hung Sunset, I believe is what it was.
I'm going to guess this is not it, because I just went to just in the normal search. So I'm going to guess it didn't go to the right place. No, because this went to Kicks Out Done Stumpy. Directly, directions to pin, share. No, I don't see a way to actually search. Oh, three words.
There's I copied now, and pasted it in the chat in case you need that.
Oh, do I need the dots maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Smooth.
But not a dot after the third one.
Right. Oh, near Rock Falls, Illinois. It did say that. And it does have it right by Dixon Avenue, 4th Street, Avenue E. Right with the creek in your backyard, yes.
Yeah, all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You just completely swerved me, because I had two things I wanted to mention. One was Gaston at the restaurants. The second thing was, oh man, I can't
Liam
remember.
and his name.
No. It was just that we, now ready for this. The number one automated car company. Okay. Are you ready for this? The number one most highly invested company in automated cars that has nothing to do with automated or cars is the company that is also like the second most invested monetarily in drone deliveries. What is that company?
GE?
Domino's Pizza.
Oh.
Domino's Pizza is trying to figure out how to have automated cars pull up to the right place out front and in a safe and effective manner, validate to the person, I am here, validate when they come out, you are who you say you are, and then verify you took the right pizza or the right meal out of the vehicle. Okay. They are on top of this. Okay. If any company is going to be successful doing unmanned deliveries of food, I can tell you now, it's going to be the people with the worst food ever, Domino's. But they're also heavily into the drone thing. Because if you remember, I think that they were one of the companies about a year ago who was touting that they were able to do drone deliveries in this one certain neighborhood.
Well, that might be good for me because we don't have a Domino's anywhere near us. So then it could just get flown in from some other major metropolitan area.
Right. Well, it doesn't mean anything to me because I'll never order from them because they were maybe the worst orderable food I think I've ever had in my life.
We just got a Little Caesars, though.
They're only moderately, no, I'm not going to say better. They're more affordable.
Oh, they're horrible. But you can get a $5 large pizza every day, already cooked. You don't even have to order it ahead of time.
Yeah, man. And when the kids are hungry, I have no problem buying them that.
I'm never going to stop looking at my 10x10s. I got Cave's Circle Tummy. This is great. I want to go out and spray paint my 10x10s with their names just so I know exactly where they're landing. You got to have funny ones in your yard, right?
I don't know. I didn't look at it that deeply.
Oh, man. This is something. I have ADD. I'm a map guy, I guess.
Well, and Steve D, thank God Steve D don't know about this because he'd be all over it. Do you have another app there, Eric, or are you too busy looking at maps?
Yeah, I've got an app. This one I was recommended through either email or Google Plus from Ivor Davies, and this is called Fart for Android Wear. This is a good, you watch some of those prank shows on YouTube and things. One of the guys on there pulls this one off a lot. Basically, all you have to do is you install this app, and then from your smartwatch, because Mark and I were trying to find good reasons to own a smartwatch, you can have your phone, within smartwatch-ish distance and press a button on your watch and it will make your phone have a fart sound. So hypothetically, you could go into Kmart or Walmart and have your wife say, "Oh, honey, could you hold my phone for me while we're in here? I got too tight of jeans on today. I can't really carry it myself," and then be an aisle over while she's in a crowded aisle, like say looking at cards in the Hallmark aisle, and there's another half a dozen people in that aisle with her looking at cards, and you can hit this on you can basically make fart noises come out of your wife's purse and then he'll look at her.
No, see, I can't do that because I can guarantee you my wife would pull the phone out, leave it there, and walk away. She would have no problem. Oh, dang, saying, man. I don't care, it's your phone.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's probably not going to work.
And I will officially say,
I think my wife would just look at the person next to her and think it was not her.
Right. I'll just say officially, this is not a useful app. This is not a reason for anyone to buy a Android.
It only comes with one free fart. You got to pay for the extra ones. And there's a lot to choose from, but you can't even hear them until you pay for them.
Okay.
And it doesn't get a lot of stars.
I wonder why. I can't understand, Eric.
What do you got for your next app, Tor?
I'm taking a look here. I think I actually brought that last week. I'm going to bring an oldie but a goodie. I really don't care if this was mentioned before on the show, because it very well could have. And if it was, it very well could have been like under episode 100 is what I'm going to say. FAQR factor.
Factor. Frequently asked questioner.
Sure, yeah. This is a app that is nothing more than a direct interface to a popular website, which it was brought back on episode 122.
Wow, good guess.
I figured it was already here once before. Simple app. You load the app, you do a search, and then you can get information on games. Especially useful for older games. So if you have an emulator up and you're running, let's say, Final Fantasy 4, and you want to know what to do next, I'm stuck. Mm. You'll be able to get maps, you'll be able to get text walkthroughs, you'll be able to get all kinds of information on the games. I will say it even has stuff on newer games, but the older the game seems like the more the information is available on it. I know I used this when playing Dragon Warrior on my emulated NES about a year or two ago. And I did pull it back down I can't even remember what for. Oh, I was playing Blaster Master on my GPD XD because of a good, very good podcast I was listening to called New Games Plus. New Games Plus. Just Google search that. What they do is three guys every week go through a randomizer of listener provided games. I believe the games have to be 15 years or older. They hit a button, a random game comes up at the end of the episode, and then they say, okay, that's what we're going to play this whole week. Then they come back next week, talk about that game, and they vote on whether it has New Games Plus status or not. Is it good? Is this something you should go back and play to understand where gaming came from?
Hmm.
I think it's a great concept. In fact, I want to steal it. It's such a good
concept. Is it three games or just one game?
One game every week, and then at the end of rating it, either getting or not getting New Games Plus status, then they basically open up the randomizer again and pick another game.
That's a neat idea. Yeah, those guys are genius.
It's such a good idea. I literally want to steal it. And there's no greater form of flattery than, you know, duplicating what somebody did. It's a fantastic idea. And I was playing Blaster Master on the old NES because they were doing it, and I used Facker to better understand the mechanics of the game. And I still listen to that show. I believe I'm actually a Patreon-y to them because I think that they do such good work. And again, that's New Games Plus. If you listen to them, if you like them, let them know that you heard about them on Android App Addicts.
There was a new Marvel game that came out today. Did you hear about that one, Dor?
I'm definitely not going to pay any attention to
it. Oh, you don't do Marvel. Okay.
No. I always downvote everything pet-related on Reddit and on Imgur.
Pet anything. Like dogs and cats and
yes,
Marvel?
Because they're all worthless posts that are completely pointless. Waste of atoms and molecules and energy. Same thing with anything related to anything Marvel or DC. I love the fact that every single one of those superhero movies have seen on average a 10% reduction in profit from the very first one, which means we're already almost 2/3 of the way through the superhero craze, and in another 2 or 3 years there will be no more superhero movies because they all do the exact same thing. They're nothing more than glorified soap operas for men who like to cry and watch just bad content.
I can't say that I ever watch. The only ones that intrigue me are Deadpool.
Well, because Deadpool is edgy. And once they saw the success of Deadpool, then all of a sudden a Wolverine movie came out rated R. And I'll say part of the reason why I'm not interested in any of the superhero movies is I'm tired of seeing, dare I say, white superheroes. I mean, when I was a kid, they were all white. And I was almost tired of them then. At least Green Lantern had the word green in his name.
Yeah, well, if you look at it that way, none of them are really white. They're red and blue and green
You know what I mean. They're all cracker-ass crackers with cracker-ass cracker stories of being... They all are. They all are, basically.
I don't even think of that. I don't know. Maybe because I'm bad.
When you see, like, even the Green Lantern movie, you have a, dare I say, a white guy in the Air Force living a great life, becoming a superhero. What? He already had a good life. He was a hero. He was a national hero. He was one of the best pilots ever. So I'm happy that we have Black Panther, but I want to see Black Lightning. Black Lightning to me was a much, much, much better character in every way than Black Panther. Also, the Hawaiian guy with Aquaman. Aquaman, one of the most underappreciated superheroes in the history of superherodom. I honestly might go pay to watch that movie just because it's different.
See, I don't know. I don't even know these superheroes. The Green Lantern, I knew. I never heard of Deadpool. I never heard of Black Panther. I never heard of... I mean, I heard of the Green Lantern, but a lot of these superheroes, Wolverine, I never heard of Wolverine when I was a kid. There's a lot of these. I never had any exposure to it. I don't know anything about the stories.
And I'll just say, there's never going to be a better Wonder Woman than Linda Carter, just saying.
Yeah, I knew Wonder Woman, that's for sure.
Oh, most boys back in that day knew her, yes. But I did see a great GIF, and I hope it was real. It was a picture of Linda Carter in the Wonder Woman outfit back in the day running in slow-mo. And the title of the gift was, I got you, every single one of you. and it's like a 10-second thing of her running. And then at the very end of the GIF, with like 9 seconds gone, with only 1 second left, they zoom into her hand, and she's doing like the okay thing, you know, made you look at the circle kind of thing. I hope that's real. I hope she was actually doing that back in the day when she was running, because nobody saw it.
I don't...
It's a Reddit thing, you know, they take pictures and do this, and it's like I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Back in my day, it used to be we would trick people to look below our waist or above our head, and if they would look and they would see the at symbol, the okay, that meant we could punch you.
Yeah, I think my kid got suspended for that once.
Doesn't shock me. I don't know what it means these days, so, but that's what
it means. When we said, I got you, I got every last one, I just assumed that, like, at the end of the GIF, she had them all lassoed up in a rope or something. So I've got another app here. This is changing it up a bit. This is called Escort Live Radar. You know, Escort is the...
Are you sure you're changing it up a little bit? Because it sounds kind of like the same stuff.
Yeah, the name is very much like the others. Escort Live Radar. So this...
Okay, is this legal?
This is a tracking app that shows you where all the escorts are in your neighborhood.
Is this legal?
No, actually, this is not that app. It's...
Good.
So Escort is a manufacturer of radar detectors. This is an app that is basically a radar detector without owning a radar detector, but it's also a companion app if you do own the radar detector made by Escort, because I guess now... they interface with your phone, and now they've got a network of their own radar detectors that also help give heads up to the other people with this app and the other people with Escort radar detectors on the street with you. So they can let you know when there's a cop parked up there doing a radar scan, you know.
A trap, speed trap.
Speed traps and things like that because of their network.
Well, here's maybe the most important thing. It's free. Okay, which is ridiculous. Does it tell you how long ago? Because that's the whole thing. Context is everything. If it was 4 hours ago and it says there was a cop up here taking radar, I don't care. That was 4 hours ago.
Well, I guess it depends on how many of their live units, you know, have, you know, been through that area since the last time.
Then I worry.
And when you say how long ago, honestly, this app has awards from 2012. But I didn't think you were going there. It does have, you know, update. Developers have worked on a lot of the bugs. So I don't know.
What bugs?
Must have been some bugs.
Because I have seen radar detectors that you have to connect to your phone for. That's how you get your alerts. That's so the radar and laser detector, because now there's two types of guns, can be as small as possible and hard to see as possible. So they basically connect to your phone and give you a notification through your phone that it detected something. So to me, it only makes sense to then take that data, crowdsource it, put it back up. But what I can't believe is it's completely free. Then that would encourage me to not buy a radar detector. But it does say it has in-app purchases.
Yeah, some $5 to $50. Yeah, I'm not sure what the in-app purchases are. I've got it installed, and I don't, you know, we don't have activity or people who use that stuff in my town. It's too small to really test it well. I don't know. I mean, I can see where you're saying, you know, you get the radar detector, you know, 2 inches by 2 inches mounted under the back of your grill, and then that's the only physical part of the radar detector other than it hooking to your battery and then Bluetoothing to your phone to this app or to another app like this.
Yeah, I'll be interested if there's any listeners out there that have had this app installed, and if they have, what was their experience with it? Did it actually, you know, save them a ticket? Because here's the whole thing. Here's where you get into...
If it saves you a ticket and the in-app purchase is $50, that's cheap.
Here's the most important thing. If it makes you slow down once in a while, to me, it's a good thing. Because I speed. I got no problem saying that. I speed, period. I don't go 20 miles an hour over speed limit. I go 5 miles, 7 miles an hour over speed limit, give or take a little bit. Because to me, the number one rule in driving, and I remember saying this to my driving ed teacher, which I took twice. I have over 180 hours of education in driving.
Wow.
Okay. More than I think anyone else listening to this show. And I said to the driving instructor,
we've got truck drivers who listen to the show.
Well, normal kind of training. My goal when driving is if I have to go 8 miles an hour or I have to go 80 miles an hour to create as much distance between everybody else on the road, that's what I'm going to do. My goal is to get in a spot where I have maximum distance between the people in front of me and behind me. That to me is how I get maximum safety when I'm driving. It's not driving X speed because you are only one part of the thing in your traffic. There's people in front of you and around you. And it has to be, if people are further from you versus closer than you, you're going to be at least a little bit safe. Now, sometimes I go the perfect speed limit.
My goal is to stay in the right lane when I'm not passing somebody. And my other goal is to use my cruise control like everybody else should be doing.
I never pass anybody. On a single lane road, Eric, I never pass anybody.
No, I'm saying on a highway.
On a highway, always. I'm rarely in the left lane because I respect other people who want to go 90 miles an hour. And I always use, my wife hates how often I use cruise control.
Okay, good.
Everybody should use it.
Oh, I'm with you, Dora. Those are my two biggest complaints of other drivers is that they hang out in the left lane way too long when there's no reason for them to be there. And they just cause confusion and delay, as Sir Topham Hatt would say. And then they also never use cruise control. So they're always passing you and you're passing them. And they're passing you and you're passing them, even though you're set at 65.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had multiple people in my life drive with me work-wise and non-work-wise and say, and my work is involved, as I said last week, which I've never said before, involved with the Department of Transportation.
You never said that before?
Okay, I don't think I've ever said that before. And if there's any place where you work and you should be able to drive, I think it's when you're involved with the Department of Transportation.
Hey, now he's not here this week, so you can't say stuff.
Well, no. I'm just saying, if you work for such an institution and you are an incompetent driver, then maybe you need to find a new job. But I've had multiple people I work with and not work with, just other people riding with me, who pointed out how, oh wow, you always use your turn signal when you change lanes. You always make head. No crap, I do.
Who wouldn't?
Coworkers. Coworkers, I'll say, especially because I always make head checks. I always stay out of the left lane whenever possible. The number of lane changes I do might be more than the average person, but that's because I'm creating that distance. I go to the left to pass, and then when I'm done passing, if there's foreseeable time I'll be out of that lane, back in the lane, I'll go back in that middle lane, even if I know 2 or 3 miles up the road I'm going to get back out of the lane, just to not be in that left lane.
Yep.
So, yeah. I can't wait for automated cars, Eric, because all these concussions, I'm going to need somebody to drive me around.
I want to play a game of Monopoly just while I'm on my way to there. I am so down with the automated cars, and I don't even want to look outside, probably. Give me a fake screen of what's going on out there. I'm fine.
Oh, no. They have to white out the windows because the things that car will do will cause you to have a heart attack or a stroke.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those animations that they show how like 300 cars go through an intersection if they're all automated? It's such chaos, but nothing hits anything, and it's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
And
those windows have to be blacked out.
Everybody keeps moving, and everybody's on their way. It's so neat. It looks like ants, kind of, but ants.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ants might be that smart. I don't know, Dora. We've got some more apps, but let's save them for next week. Is there anything you want to tell the folks before we finish off tonight?
I want to thank everyone for their support. And if they would like to support us, all they got to do is go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts, or in this very show, click on the notes. There's a link to the Patreon in there. It's the easiest way to support us. And I will say again, Todd Evans, thank you very much. He, again, is over, above, and beyond supporting this show. I'll repeat, Mark, pay for what you like. No matter what that is, support those who support you. If you're listening to something out there and you really get enjoyment out of it and they don't constantly inundate you with ads nonstop, pay for what you like. Go buy merchandise from them. Support them on Patreon. Do a one-time PayPal donation or something. It helps them out immaculately. And if you cannot afford that, then simply open up your email and aaa@podnos.com, shoot us an email. That counts for a lot too, trust me. And if that is too much like work, 7076 podnut, you can send us a voicemail.
I can't stop looking at different what three words are in my house now.
I know that.
So cool. I remember that HQ game you hate so much that I brought.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so it's still growing, And now they do have an invite a friend kind of thing. So if anybody wants to hook a brother up and use the referral Dini Media, D-I-N-I-M-E-D-I-A, that'll give me one extra guess where I can actually get it wrong and keep going in the game. So I may have a better chance at winning something if I do flub up halfway through it. But yeah, Dini Media, if you haven't tried HQ and you don't know what an HQD is, go find out at Trivia HQ. And thanks for listening. Maybe we'll have Mark back with us next week. Everybody have a good Easter and a good spring. Goodbye, snow.
My name is Jeff Halish. I'm the host of Podnuts Daily, where we interview real people who are working in the computer repair field. I would like to invite you to check out the shows to learn what other computer repair techs are doing. If you would like to be a guest on the show, then contact me at guest@podnuts.com. Podnuts Daily, where it's fun to talk tech.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.